T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jason Longshore, of course, Atlanta United analyst on the wayport.com hotline, joining us to talk a little bit about soccer this morning. Well, Jason, a little bit too brief there for Atlanta United.
Way too brief. It just wasn't good enough. They never found the chemistry they needed. They never found the goals they needed, and they made some defensive mistakes that you're not really accustomed to giving up goals the way that this team did in this tournament. They didn't give up a lot, but they gave up goals in bad times and in bad ways, and you add all of that up, and you're on a flight back to Atlanta a lot sooner than you expected.
Number one, before we get that, how you doing, Jason? I mean, you know, been a while since we talked
good.
To you.
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, had a couple of days to kind of mill it over a little bit. Is it as bad as it looked the last three matches that we saw Atlanta United?
No, I don't think it is, because, I mean, the margins are so thin. You're talking about 3-1-0 losses. The bad part is you didn't score a goal. And did you expect to score as many goals without Joseph Martinez as you would with him? No, I don't think that's a fair expectation, but this team should be scoring goals. There's no way around it. You created in two of the games where you played 11v11, throw the Cincinnati game out for a second because of the red card, you created 21 chances in those two games, and you didn't get a goal out of it. That's unacceptable. You can't do that and be an elite team in this league. And Atlanta United's got to figure out a few things right now. You know, can you be threatening in the attacking phase of play without Joseph Martinez, or do you have to change things around, or do you have to look for somebody? And then you're also waiting to see how long it's going to be until you see number 7 back on the field. There's a lot of questions right now, and in a normal season, you would be getting ready for the next game. You'd have a chance to answer those questions immediately. Now we're in the big unknown. We don't know when the season resumes, and, I mean, it could be 4 to 6 weeks, and that's a long time to let this kind of fester.
Jason, under Tata Martino, and I hate to go back to this, but Atlanta United was, you know, freewheeling. They were over the top. They were a scoring machine. They were trying to take long balls and beat you down the field, and every time, I asked Brad Guzan once, you know, what's it feel like, you know, from your vantage point when the ball goes forward, and you thought every time across the center line that he thought that we would score. So that was kind of their identity. You know, they were, you know, inclined to try to score 5 goals, and if it meant 5-4 win, then so be it. What is the identity of this team now?
Well, I also think that is not quite accurate, because it's easy now to look back 2 years ago and look at it one way. Tata Martino was trying to get this team better defensively before he left, and look at the way he played the postseason in 2018. Completely different than the way you just described. That's not how they played in the postseason to win MLS Cup. They became very defensive, more defensive than they've been under Frank DeBoer, but it won you a trophy. He was trying to get the defense more solid throughout his time, and he got less vertical. He started to use more possession. Now, the problem, when things fall apart with the team right now, and it's been really two times if you want to look at it. You look at the start of last season, and you look at right now. Right now, you're missing Joseph Martinez. That does factor into it. I know there's a lot of talent. You have to find a way to solve that problem. But when you're missing a top player, it's going to affect you. There's just no way around that. And I think what we saw last season, look at the way the team evolved from game 1 to game 34 in the regular season. By the end of the season, they were the third highest scoring team in the league. Joseph Martinez scored a lot of goals. What was the biggest difference to me, it's not tactics, it's in 2017 and 2018, you had Miguel Almiron, who was a secondary scoring threat. 2017, you had Tito Villalba, who was a secondary scoring threat. 2019, you didn't have anybody else that stepped up with the number of goals to make up for that. You had Pitty Martinez, who was a good assist man and a good chance creator, but he's not a big goal scorer like Miguel Almiron was. You didn't have anybody to take that heat off of Joseph when teams commit two and sometimes three to make sure that he's not going to find that space. Right now, it's even easier because he's not taking up that space, and it's even harder for Pitty and for Barco and for anybody else to find that space. They've got to get creative in the attack to find ways to open the game up, or you're going to struggle to score goals at the moment.
With that being said, because during the broadcast, you know, it was a lot being mentioned about the fact that Joseph wasn't out there and everything like that, and the fact that, you know, Pitty being the South American Player of the Year, he hasn't stepped up yet. Do you feel that there's a lot of undue pressure on Pitty Martinez to kind of, you know, be Joseph Martinez, for lack of a better way of describing it?
Right now, yeah. And I think it showed in the second half for him. I think Pitty Martinez played a really strong match against the Red Bulls. I thought he struggled in the match against Cincinnati, especially when it went down to 10-11. And I thought he worked hard on Tuesday night, but he wasn't as effective as he needed to be. It was very up and down, and I thought it was because of that pressure. I thought it was because he was pressing and trying to make something happen at times where, you know, you're taking a huge risk. It's a low percentage shot. It's a low percentage opportunity, but there wasn't a whole lot else being developed. So I get it both ways with him. He's not a big goal scorer. He never has been a big goal scorer. He is a chance creator. He unbalances a team, but he has to have people to play off of. And without Joseph, his role is completely different and he gets isolated. And if you go back and you read what Caleb Porter, the manager for the Columbus Crew, had to say before the game, he talked about how much he respects Pitty, how much he respects Barco, and how they had to be ready to defend them. The problem is they respect him, and they don't have anybody else. Atlanta doesn't have anybody else to take defenders away from those two. So those 1v1 opportunities you're looking for those two players, because they're going to win a good number of 1v1 dribbling opportunities, they're turning into 1v2s. Or they're turning into two players in that zone, so there's no space for Pitty Martinez and Ezequiel Barco to find it. You've got to get more creative now to find ways to free those two up. And I don't know if that's Adam John. I don't know if that's somebody else up top. Maybe Jurgen Damm with his speed will open the game up when you get back to play. But it's got to get more creative because it just got too static in the final third.
Talking with, of course, Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst. All right, talk to me about the next game. And about what we might see in terms of, will we have, you know, new faces and finally settle kind of in on an 11 for Frank DeBoer?
Well, we'll talk about the roster at the moment now. Jurgen Damm will be joining it, and you're talking about a speed merchant. I mean, you're talking about one of the fastest players in the world. He's generally played out wide. I'll be curious to see if he plays as a wing back in the system or if he potentially plays up top as a player who can get in behind with that ball over the top, like you mentioned. Sometimes you can just get simple, get vertical, play over the top, let Jurgen Damm run, see if he can get on it. That will open up some space for Pitty and for Barco. The thing we don't know is when that next game is going to be. This tournament will run through August 11th. You would expect there'd be a little bit of time after it as teams, you know, who finish the tournament are getting back into their home markets. There's not a schedule yet. There have been some reports that MLS would have a schedule out before the end of this month. I'm sure that process changed when the Canadian government made their decision that has affected the Toronto Blue Jays. They can't play home games. MLS has three Canadian teams. And as we're seeing with the Blue Jays situation, season starts today. They don't have a home right now. What are you going to do with the Montreal Impact, Toronto FC, and the Vancouver Whitecaps? So this has gotten really complicated, I think, for MLS. They are fully intending to play, but what that time frame looks like, none of us know at the moment.
Well, that's interesting, and of course, now a little bit of time to work out some of the things that were, you know, problematic down in Orlando. So I guess try and take advantage of that. That's the best thing we can do, Jason, I think.
You have to. You have to try to figure it out. You will have a transfer window that will open up here as well after the tournament, and it will be open through the end of October. the worldwide transfer window is going to be one of the most bizarre we've seen, with teams who are in financial trouble and have to sell because of the pandemic. And you're going to have a few teams with ownership who are willing to invest and willing to spend. So it could be a really different kind of window. And I think there will be Atlanta United involvement in that, just because there's going to be so many different things that happen around the world. Atlanta will be part of that. MLS will be part of that.
So basically, Jason, there's no need to panic. I mean, it's not as bad as it looks. We do need some work. We do need to definitely do some work.
It's got to be better, but you're not losing games 4-5-0 here. You're losing 1-0. It's little things. The problem is, it's just quite a few little things that are affecting you right now. You never found that sharpness that you needed to in this tournament to be successful. It never happened. That's got to change.
Gotcha.
Jason, you're obviously our soccer expert, and we appreciate your jumping in and giving us some of the info. And we look for the announcement about the next game. Thanks much.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.